Di Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavan ki jai, Majuram ki jai, Sami ki jai, Yamunamai ki jai, Shimadi Lasi Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi ki jai, Go, Vrindamanda. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So yesterday I forgot to mention several things. So I'm going to mention them this morning before we go into the Bhagavatam class. So we're going to Timananda Shagadan Shana Silakeya Chakshur and Meditam Vena Chajmai Shidurai Maha. So I forgot to mention that it was Gopashtami yesterday. And in addition, it was the disappearance day or days of three great personalities. Gadadhar Das, Srinivas Acharya, and Dhananjaya Pandit. So, as far as Gopastami is concerned, it's the day that Krishna grew up. And having been grown up, or growing up, Krishna got charge of the cows instead of the calves. And it's a very auspicious day, and it's a day that cows are supposed to be worshipped. So, if I would have known that, I would have gone to the farm and worshipped some cows, but I forgot to do that. Anyway, and then there's a story about Radharani, who wanted to be with Krishna, so it appears that Radharani and Subal look very similar, have similar types of features, so she dressed up as Subal. She was able to associate with Krishna when he was taking care of the cows. I mean, there's many stories that the Acharyas have written about Radharani dressing up as Subal and Subal dressing up as Radharani to enable Radha and Krishna to meet with each other. However, in some temples they actually dress the deity of Radharani as a cowherd boy. This is not bona fide. Why am I saying that? Because you're not supposed to enact the Lord's pastimes utilizing the deities. I mean, in some temples in the past, they even made it look like Radharani and Krishna were on a boat. And other temples, they even put, let's say, inserts in the eyes of the deities so it looked like the deities were looking at each other. And other places, they actually had styrofoam hands made for Radharani. I don't know if you ever saw this. And they hid her actual hand, so it looked like she was carrying a water pot on her head. So the deities are not meant to be dealt with like that, because we're worshipping Radha Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayana. It's actually Radha and Krishna that we're worshipping. But the mood, I mean, internally, yes, we can have the mood of, you know, Braj, which is Raganuga Bhakti, you understand? But externally, it should be inviting. It's like yesterday we were talking about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and the beautiful atmosphere of Vrindavan, Kokila, Hamsa, etc., like that. So it's described that the Sankhya Purvaka, Nama, that the Goswamis of Vrindavan, Sankhya. Sankhya actually means to count. It's interesting, counting. It's like you have Sankhya Yoga, which basically means to enumerate or count the different material elements, you know, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, the perceptive senses, the active senses, etc. And so, Sankhya Purvaka Nama. So it's described by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They were measuring, they were counting their rounds. Now, we understand that the cowherd boys and the gopis, they don't really count too much. You understand? Because they're in love with Krishna. And you find sometimes in our disciplic succession, even there are avadutas who don't count their rounds. Great avadutas who don't count their rounds. But the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were always counting that around. So that means Vaidhi. Doesn't mean that they were on the platform of Vaidhi. It's different. That means that they were, first of all, concerned with us. Because if they did not count their rounds, we would take that as an example for us that, oh, I'm a little bit more advanced in devotional service, and I don't need to count my rounds anymore. Like one devotee one time said, when he was asked, do you chant your rounds? He said, isn't there a place for pure devotional, for spontaneous devotional service in our movement? Well, there is a place, but that's actually in there, not out there. And that did you go on the internet and you have groups of Raghunuga Bhaktas to discuss their Siddha Deha, or like when Prabhupada was present, they had this Gopi Baba Club in Los Angeles where they were discussing all sorts of intimate things, even utilizing Prabhupada's books. And of course, Prabhupada got very upset with that, extremely upset with that, and he was saying, yes, all these things are in his books, but you have to know how to apply, just like you have to know how to apply the different medicines in a pharmacy or a drugstore, as they say, or etc. So, in the same way, if one is actually advanced, like the six Goswamis in Vrindavan, they will act in many ways like a neophyte. Not a neophyte in the sense that they'll fight with each other. It's one of the symptoms of a neophyte, the fighting, neophyte. But neophyte in the sense that they'll be very strict in counting their rounds. Very, very, very strict in counting their rounds. Very, very strict in the sadhanas described about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. That their sadhana was like the lines on a stone. Lines on a stone you can't really erase. Because they're so... Anyway, they're embedded in the stone. So that's really the point. So as far as our worship of Radha and Krishna, we should just every day, you know, nicely dress them. And of course, the festival days, there's more decoration of the deities, that's true. And we can have nice backdrops that depict the Vrindavan pastimes and everything like that. But don't mess around with the deities. It's very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. I think this should be done really strictly. Punctuality, cleanliness, etc. And especially punctuality, cleanliness, and of course, nice voga being offered to the deities. I was having a discussion, an interesting discussion, that I have with one of my friends, Nishrina Kovacha, who's the head of the deity worship ministry. And we were having a discussion about putting Govardhan on the altar. He's not enthusiastic about it. I am, anyway. And he said, Govardhan is Raghunuga, and you're supposed to be Vaidhi. And I said, well, I like Govardhan. Anyway, so we're having this discussion with him back and forth about it. You know, he's a friend. He's a good friend. And I tease him sometimes, because in Vrindavan, they have Govardhan on the altar, Krishna Balaram altar. And in Vrindavan, Mayapur, they have Govardhan on the altar, too. So anyway, so the discussion, but the worship of Govardhan is not Vaidhi worship. The worship of Shalagram Shila is Vaidhi worship. So there's different aspects or manifestations of the Lord that have to be dealt with differently. Anyway, so that's Gopashtami. And as far as the disappearance day or days of these three great personalities, Dhananjaya Pandit, he's considered to be, he's an associate of Lord Chaitanya when Lord Chaitanya was in Navadweep, Mayapur, and he is considered to be equally a follower of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Generally, you find the personalities mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're either followers of Lord Chaitanya or followers of Lord Nityananda. Of course, obviously, they follow both, but they're considered branches of one of the two personalities. So he's a branch of both personalities, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And the other personalities, let's see, Gadadhar Das. Gadadhar Das is not Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. He's a different personality. And he's considered to be the incarnation of the effulgence of Radharani, who was a personality in Krishna Lila named Chandra Kanti. Chandra. Chandra, of course, that means the moon. Kanti means the effulgence of the moon. It's interesting. It's a very interesting poetic description, the effulgence of the moon. So anyway, so Chandra Kanti, and he also was there during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Navadvipa, Mayapur. And one particular pastime that's memorable is deals with his boldness, his courage in approaching the Qazi. It's an interesting story. The Qazi, of course, was the Muslim magistrate who was in charge of that particular district there. He was Mughal, not just Muslim, he was Mughal. And he was quite cruel. This was actually before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did his whole pastime with the breaking of the Mridanga, you know, the Qazi's people breaking the Mridanga, and then the Qazi being attacked by Lord Nrsimhadeva at night before that pastime. So Gadadhar Das was very enthusiastic to get everybody to chant the holy names. So he thought, you know, one night, it was practically a little late at night, the Qazi was resting. He thought, I want to get the Qazi to chant Hare Krishna. So boldly, because this is a sign of a pure devotee, Abhaya Shatva Samshudi, Jnana Yogi Vavastati, a pure devotee is not afraid. Of course, he takes precautions. There's a difference. Like a pure devotee will wear a seatbelt in the car. It's not that he's thinking, you know, why do I need a seatbelt? Krishna will protect me. But he wears a seatbelt, even in India, where he can get away without wearing a seatbelt. But at the same time, after taking the precautions, he understands that, you know, Krishna's protecting him. So he went in the evening to the Qazi's house and says, where's that Qazi? Because he was resting, you know. And the Qazi gets out of his bed or his room and he says, Gadadhar Das, what are you doing here? And Gadadhar said, chant Hare Krishna. And the Qazi said, what? What are you doing? He said, all right, just to placate Gadadhar Das, he said, tomorrow I will chant Hare Krishna. And Gadadhar Das, hearing that the Qazi had already chanted Hare Krishna and saying, tomorrow I will chant Hare Krishna, he started dancing in ecstasy. He said, oh, you've already done it. And he was successful. In this way, if we can get people to hear the holy names, of course, that's called Agyata Sukriti. That means unknowing devotional service or pious activities. If we can get people to hear the holy names, they're life is successful. It's like we have this one disciple in the UK is always getting people to say Gauranga. And so people can say Gauranga, Gauranga Balite Habi Pulaka Shavir, or any name of Krishna, then they're liberated. It's inestimable a benefit from chanting or hearing the holy name. So there is benefit for Gyata Sukriti. Although one cannot go back to Godhead with a Gyata Sukriti, one actually has to be a pure devotee of the Lord. But at least it starts one on the path, like giving someone prasadam, etc., like that. So that was Gadadhar Das, and then of course Srinivasacharya, he's the best known personality. So Srinivas was one of the three second generation devotees, primary devotees from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's Srinivasacharya, Narottama Das Thakur, and Shyamananda Pandit. And Srinivas, there's this whole story about Lord Chaitanya predicted his birth, that when his parents were actually visiting him in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya said, go back, you're going to have a child who's a great devotee of the Lord, his name is going to be Srinivas. And his father actually had the nickname Chaitanya Das, because when he saw Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, he kept repeating, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. Chaitanya, Chaitanya. So, anyway, so, and then Srinivas was, appeared in this world, and he eventually, of course, there's all these stories about how he, after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared, he went to Jagannath Puri to study the Srimad Bhagavatam with the devotees there who were still there after Lord Chaitanya disappeared. And then when he went to Jagannath Puri, he discovered that the Bhagavatam that they had was illegible because it had been smeared with the tears of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very interesting story. And then, so he went to get another copy of the Bhagavatam. By the time he returned, all the devotees in Jagannath Puri had disappeared. So there's this continual story. And of course, Jayapataka Maharaj tells the story in a very emotional way, how wherever Srinivasacharya went, the devotees who he was supposed to associate with disappeared right before he got there. So then he went to Vrindavan shortly after that. He went to Vrindavan, and on the way to Vrindavan, just before he entered, he discovered that Rupa and Sanatana had passed away. And he was thinking, this is horrible. You know, practically speaking, this is horrible. Vrindavan is torturing me. But then he was placated by the remaining Goswamis of Vrindavan, and he took shelter in a shiksha relationship with Shilajiva Goswami and studied the books of the Goswamis with Shilajiva Goswami and also Narottamadas Thakur, Shamananda. And when he finished his studies, he was assigned to go on the Sankirtan party, distribute the knowledge. I mean, he took the books of the Goswamis, or at least copies of the books of the Goswamis, with him back to Bengal. And on the way back to Bengal, there's the famous story, he passing through the part of Bengal known as Vana Vishnupur, and there was a king Virhamvir. Virhamvir means, you know, basically the heroic king. And this king, he had astrologer, expert astrologer. So even the thieves then had astrologers. And the king was a dacoit. And the astrologer said that this group of devotees that has this cart, it's like an ox cart, with a chest in it, is carrying the most valuable gems inside. So he arranged for his soldiers in the middle of the night to capture or take away this chest. And Srinivasacharya got very, of course, upset when this was taken away. And then Krishna made the arrangement that he came to King Virhamvir's assembly when King Virhamvir was having his Bhagavatam class, because even the thieves had Bhagavatam class at that time. And actually, it's interesting, even the dacoits, the gundas, probably the gundas. And so he was able to have a discussion with the person giving Bhagavatam class, and then the king understood that this was a great personality, because the king had also had a dream of Srinivasacharya coming. And the king showed him this chest of books. Of course, the king previously had opened it up, and he saw the writing of Srila Rupa Goswami, which is described like rows of pearls on a thread. So beautiful. And actually, we've seen copies of the writing of Srila Rupa Goswami. Just very beautiful writing, you know, precise, very precise writing. And so, anyway, the king surrendered to Srinivasacharya, took initiation from Srinivasacharya, and made a rule that nobody could live in his kingdom if they didn't chant their rounds. So he kicked everybody out of the kingdom. And he made it a Krishna conscious kingdom, and Srinivasacharya was basically, became a great acharya at that time, initiated many great devotees like Ramchandra, Kaviraj, and others. He got married, actually, two wives, and he had some children, Krishna consciousness. So he was a grahastha guru. At that point, it's described that one of his daughters, what was her name? Was her name Krishna Priya, Gangamata, Ganga, something like that, was actually a guru, too. It's a pretty interesting story. Anyway, so that's Srinivasacharya. great personality, important personality in our disciplic succession. So there's the three personalities who disappear.
Who is his Diksha Guru?
His Diksha Guru was... That's actually a good question. Gopalbhatta Goswami, that's right. Gopalbhatta Goswami is his Diksha Guru. Gopalbhatta Goswami. Of course, Gopalbhatta Goswami was from South India, and he was expert in genie worship. Prabhupada said that the Radharaman temple, of course, he was the person who worshipped Radharaman, the self-manifested deity of Krishna. Prabhupada said the devotees could go visit that temple and learn from the devotees how to worship the deities. So that's Gopalbhatta Goswami. So, now we'll go on to Bhagavatam with that brief delay of 15 minutes, 20 minutes. So I'm sorry we missed that. From now on, I will make an attempt to be more attentive to our calendar to see what's...
We just got back from the trip, so
thanks. Yeah, good excuse.
Well, usually it's always not listed on the day. Sometimes it's a notation.
Oh, yeah, it's a notation, so it's hard.
So it's obviously all the time.
Anyway, I take responsibility. I'm not making excuses for my inadequacy. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 13th chapter, text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atra Bhoktavyam Asmabhir Adivarudam Shudarditaha Vatsaha Samipe Paha Pitva Chanantu Sanakais Trinam Atra Bhoktavyam Asmabhir Devarudam Shudarditaha Vatsa Samipe Papitva Charantu Sanakaishtrinam Atra Vaktavyam Asmabir Devarudam Shudarditaha Vatsa Samipe Papitva Charantu Shanakais Trinam Atra Bhaktavyam Asmabhir Divarudam Chudarditaha Vatsa Samipe Papitva Charantu Shanakaistrinam. Okay.
Atra Bhoktavyam Asmabhir.
Atra Bhoktavyam
Divarudam Shudarita.
Divarudam Shudarita.
Vatsa Samipe Papitva.
Vatsa Samipe Papitva.
Charantu Shanakaistrinam.
Ladies.
Atra Bhoktavyam Asmabhir.
Atra Bhoktavyam Asmabhir.
Divarudam Shudarita.
Divarudam Shudarita.
Vatsa Samipe Papitva.
Vatsa Samipe Papitva.
Charantu Shanakaistrinam.
Charantu Shanakaistrinam.
All right. Atra, here on the spot. Bhoktavyam, our lunch should be eaten. Asmabhihi, by us. Diva Arudam. It is very late now. Shuddha Arditaha. We are fatigued with hunger. Vatsaha. The calves. Samipe. Nearby. Apaha. Water. Vitva.
After drinking.
Charantu.
Let them eat.
Shanakahai.
Slowly.
Trinam.
The grasses.
Translation. I think we should take our lunch here. Since we are already hungry because the time is very late. Here the calves may drink water and go slowly here and there and eat the grass. So, you can repeat. I think we should take our lunch here.
I think we should take our lunch here.
Since we are already hungry.
Since we are already hungry.
Because the time is very late.
Because the time is very late.
Here the calves may drink water.
Here the calves may drink water.
And go slowly here and there and eat the grass. So, of course, this is all Yogamaya, that because they don't have material bodies. So, but Krishna makes it them feel like they're hungry. So this pastime can take place. Krishna's amazing. Even with a spiritual body, you can actually experience hunger Krishna wants for his pastime's sake. So text 7. Tateti payitvar payayitvarva vatsanarabja shadvale muktva shikyani bhubuju samam bhagavata muta. Accepting Lord Krishna's proposal, the coward boys allowed the calves to drink water from the river and then tied them to trees where there was green, tender grass. Then the boys opened their baskets of food and began eating with Krishna in great transcendental pleasure. So even eating is going on in the spiritual world. I mean, these things are all inconceivable, how if you have a transcendental body full of eternity, bliss, and knowledge, and you're eating, and the food is completely Krishna conscious too, because there's nothing that's mundane there. There's nothing unconscious in the spiritual world. You know, the dust particles are conscious. The everything is completely Krishna conscious. I mean, how this is going on, we cannot understand. So, Krishnasya Vishvapururaji Mandalayar Avyanana Uladrisho Vrijarvakaha Sahobavishta Vipanevirejush Chadayatam Boruha Karnikayaha. Like the world of a lotus flower, surrounded by its petals and leaves, Krishna sat in the center, encircled by lines of his friends, who all looked very beautiful. Every one of them was trying to look forward toward Krishna, thinking that Krishna might look toward him. In this way, they all enjoyed their lunch in the forest. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, to a pure devotee, Krishna is always visible, as stated in the Brahma Sanghita. Santaksaraiva Riniyeshu Vilokiyanti. And as indicated by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvata Pani Padam Tat Sarvato Kshi Shiro Mukam. If by accumulating pious activities, Krita Punya Punja, one is raised to the platform of pure devotional service, Krishna is always visible in the core of one's heart. One who has attained such perfection is all beautiful and transcendental bliss. The present Krishna conscious movement is an attempt to keep Krishna in the center. For if this is done, all activities will automatically become beautiful and blissful. Om Ganatu Vrindasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuram Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So of course, as we know, Krishna is in everyone's heart, as Krishna states in several places in the Gita, Pradesha Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sabhabhutani Yantra Vrani Maya, and then also Matatsmati Yanavaponam, etc. So we don't see Krishna, and Prabhupada said the amazing thing is that we don't see Krishna. You know, one time Prabhupada was asked, do you see Krishna? And of course Prabhupada answered in a variety of different ways when he was asked that particular question, because sometimes it's asked in a very challenging way. You know, because if you say yes, people say, oh, you're just pretending. If you say no, they'll say you're useless. So Prabhupada said yes, and the amazing thing is you don't see Krishna. That's the amazing thing. Because basically, for several reasons why we don't see Krishna is we don't understand that Ahamsa Vasha Prabhupada Bhattaksavam Prabhupada today, everything comes from Krishna. Everything is, in one sense, different and non-different from Krishna. And also because we're covered by the lust. And so we don't see Krishna. Krishna's present. So anyway, the coward boys, they're seeing Krishna at every minute. And in fact, it's described elsewhere in the Krishna book that they were thinking that every one of them was thinking that Krishna was just looking at them. And that's the amazing thing about Krishna, because Krishna can be present or manifest himself in unlimited places simultaneously. So there's no question of devotees being bereft of the association of Krishna because Krishna is with another devotee. It's like oftentimes I give the example that when Krishna married 16,108 women, it's not that they had to take turns to associate with Krishna. Normally, if someone has several wives, they have to take turns, right? But Krishna's wives all had the chance to be with Krishna simultaneously. And when Narada Muni went to Dwarka to visit Krishna in his home, he actually discovered that Krishna was in each and every home doing different things with his family members. Prabhupada mentions elsewhere that a yogi, he can expand himself up to 9 times, but those expansions are like television expansions. There's like that story in the Krishna book of Shobari Muni. Shobari Muni actually married 50 girls. He was the waterlogged sage who offended Garuda, and because of that he desired... he had some desires. So he jumped out of the water and he asked the king, I think the king's name was Mandata, he asked the king, please let me marry one of your daughters. The king saw how ugly he looked, and the king said, all right, if I say no, he's going to get angry, and if I say yes, the girls would never accept him. So he said to him, whoever would accept you, you could marry them. And so, utilizing his mystic powers, this sage, he turned himself to a beautiful young man, and then all the girls were fighting with each other to get him. And he married all 50 of them. Later on, he realized it was a mistake. I mean, that's definitely extreme polygamy. 50, or Chitraketu with 10 million, that's even more extreme polygamy. So in any case, still he could not be acting differently with each and every wife. Even though he could expand himself, it was like a television expansion. But Krishna, he has a personal relationship with each and every one of us. We all have our own Krishna. It's interesting. Sarva Ridyam Mayam Saranam Ridyam Toham Maranyat Tayena Janati Naham Tebyo Managupi. As Krishna says about the devotees, which is similar to the statement made here in the purport, because the devotees have me in their hearts, I am also And what is that? No, the devotee. I also have the devotees in my heart. There's an interesting reciprocal relationship, you know, like yayatam mam prapajante tamsatayva bhajamyam. And then he says, because they do not know anyone else but me as theirs, I do not know anyone else but them as mine. You understand? Such a beautiful expression. And so, in other words, Krishna has no favorites. Also in the Gita, he says, samaham, I am equal to everyone. Name dveshosti na priha. I don't have any favorites. So you can actually, each and every one of us, can have the position that's mentioned here with the coward boys, or with the gopis, or with Yashoda Mai. Of course, we can't become Yashoda Mai, but the position or the mood of Yashoda Mai and the coward boys and the gopis, and just have Krishna as ours. Another statement is Krishna se tumar, Krishna dite par. Krishna belongs to the pure devotee, right? That's why we simply run after the pure devotee. Krishna se tumar, Krishna dite par. Because Krishna belongs to the pure devotee, he's the property of the pure devotee. So we can also have that too if we become Krishna conscious. That's nice, you know? So, on that happy note, we got half a minute left for class. Any questions or comments? It's very nice reading about these intimate pastimes of Krishna with the coward boys. And when I read about these pastimes, I actually picture this taking place. You know, Krishna's sitting there, and the coward boys, and they're hungry, and they're eating their food, but they're actually paying attention to Krishna. They're not just like eating food like we eat food and enjoying the tongue. They're actually paying attention to Krishna. You're just eating their food. I hope he looks at me. I hope he looks at me. I hope he looks at me. Hi, Krishna, here I am. Yeah. Anyway, so they just, it's just immersed in pure love. It's not like picnics that we have in this material world. We're thinking, goody-goody, what did you pack today? Isn't it? Sometimes we have picnics. What did you pack today? Did you pack any ice cream? They're just thinking of Krishna. Anyway, on that happy note, all glorious to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.